Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Well, hello, Army family. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Mandy Gibson. Today is Monday, July 25th, 2016, and this is show number 573. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Yes, we are. And tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Jennifer Ferguson, here to discuss her book, Pure Eyes, Clean Heart, A Couple's Journey to Freedom from Pornography. Our topic for this podcast is a sensitive subject and may not be suitable for young ones. After our news segment, you may want to make sure your children are busy and out of earshot during the interview with Jen. We also realize that not everyone will agree with the views of this guest. However, we wanted to bring you this information and let you decide for yourself. As always, the views of our AWTR guests are their own, and their interview by AWN does not necessarily imply endorsement. You can find Jen Ferguson on social media by going to her website at www.pureeyescleanheart.com. She's also on Twitter at JenFergie2000, that's J-E-N-F-E-R-G-I-E 2000, and on Facebook at Philadelphia Gloria Sisterhood, ID E.O. Gloria Sisterhood. Stay tuned. We have a great show ahead for you.
And if you're listening to our show live, make sure you join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate.
We hope you'll join us over there. Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio Show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with the TRICARE Dental Program. Be sure to enroll today. You can learn more at metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-MET-TDP-1. That's 855-MET-TDP and the number 1. Before we get to all that, though, hey, Mandy, let's take a few minutes to catch up. What's been going on in your Army wife life?
Well, we've actually been really, really busy. The first leg of our PCS is just about done. Actually, my daughter and I, along with our two dogs, kind of skipped out a little bit early on the PCS. So the movers actually came to our house today. So my husband is back there taking care of all of that good stuff, you know, with a 1.5-year-old and two dogs. Really, my main job there would have just been, you know, corralling them and keeping them out of the way, making sure that they were occupied. So my parents don't live too far from where we're currently moving from. So we went ahead and came down here to kind of be out of the way. But we did a lot in preparation. So it's almost done. The first leg of the PCS, almost done.
Oh, wow. So where were you stationed?
We were stationed at Fort Lee, Virginia. My husband was there for the captain's career course for logistics there. And my parents live right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. So.
Okay, so then you're PCSing to that area or nearby.
Yeah, so, well, we left Fort Lee. We've come down to Charlotte area just to stay with my mom because my husband and I are going to Jamaica next week. So they're watching our daughter. But then once we're come back, then we go up to Fort Drum, New York, and that's where we'll be PCSing too.
Oh, wow. Fort Drum.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard that's beautiful. I've heard that a lot, maybe more than Alaska even. But everyone that I've talked to that's been up there has loved it. Are you excited?
Yeah, yes, I am excited. I'm always excited about being able to experience new things and new places and different people. I'm not a fan of the snow, so I think that that's going to be an adjustment for me, but I know it'll be okay. We're originally from Ohio, so we're used to a little bit of snow, but not as much as we're anticipating. So,
you're going from, oh my goodness, it just hit me. But you're going from Fort Irwin, is that correct, to Fort Drum?
No, Fort Lee. In Virginia.
Fort Lee in Virginia. Okay, I was thinking I'm sorry, you had said, that would have been an adjustment.
But we've only been at Fort Lee for like 6 months, so we were in Texas for almost four years prior to that, so it is an adjustment. Yeah, we were at Fort Lee.
Now, that would be an adjustment, yeah. I missed the snow this past winter, even though oh, my heavens. I'm an in-between girl. I'm not a cold weather girl, and I'm not a hot weather girl. I'm an in-between. So I complain in the winter, and I complain in the summer. So you've got me kind of happy in the fall and the spring.
Yeah, and she
it would be quite
not
an
me at all. Yeah, I'm like, I miss the Texas heat. I'm not sure many people say that, but I'm like, I miss the Texas heat. So, but you recently just did some traveling, didn't you? Did you go back home to visit some family?
Yeah, I went back to Southeast Kansas, where my family's from, and got to take a peek at my grandbaby, who is due at the end of next month. So he's already 6 pounds, 8 ounces, according to the sonogram.
So you got to see, you got to go in and see the ultrasound and everything.
Yes, and it was a 4D one, and so really got to see that he's going to have chubby cheeks.
He
already looks like his daddy. And so even just measuring, he's going to have his mama's short legs. And so that was so fun. And my youngest two, who are 11, got to go with us and got to see him moving around. And he kind of smiled for Grandma, or at least I'm sure he didn't know it was me, but, you know.
He can hear you.
Feel special.
They can hear you at this point. So. No, they can.
I can't wait. We're on baby watch now, so we're on the countdown. Just turned 36 weeks, weeks Wednesday. Not that we're counting.
No,
but
that's just,
Well, you know. I saw the cutest thing at Hallmark that I wish I would have seen earlier on in my daughter's pregnancy, and that was Grandma's countdown to baby. Grandma's countdown to grandbaby. It was a little digital countdown clock. I still thought about getting it, but I decided we're getting close enough. But if I would have seen that a couple of months ago, even I would have just bought that up.
That's pretty neat. I hadn't seen anything like that before, so that's pretty cool. That would be fun.
I hadn't either, and I love that they include grandparents, even though I don't feel quite old enough to be a grandma. But
yeah.
I don't know.
That's
my daughter's going
to
pass me an age.
She doesn't even want to be called grandma.
Yeah. What do your kids call your mom then?
Nana.
Special name? Nana.
She's Nana.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to give
away
my
age
here. I'm going to give away my age here, and I turned 30 this year, and so my mom used to always say that she was 29. And I said, Mom, you can't say you're 29 anymore. You have to at least be 39, because I can't be 30 and you be 29. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, that is so hilarious, because I've even trained my kids to say that I'm 29. And my oldest daughter was like, I'm getting close to passing you up, Mom. So then you'll be my mom.
My mom
gets to revert back in my childhood.
Oh, my mom does the same thing, and I actually have younger siblings too. And I My youngest brother is actually like 14 years younger than me, and he truly for a while thought my mom was 29. They went to go get my mom a birthday cake, and he told the lady at the counter, she's 29, like, because, you know, how old is she? And my brother said, she's 29, and so that's what they put on the cake.
Love that. Okay. So yep. I hear you're going to be roughing it soon, and that you're going to have to fly to Jamaica. So rough. Is there a special occasion?
Well, we are actually doing like a renew. I might have talked about this before, but I think we are actually doing a kind of a vow renewal ceremony, because we didn't have the typical wedding. We kind of had the courthouse wedding, so we didn't get to take a honeymoon either. And so this is kind of it's close to our 3-year anniversary, but you know we have to schedule things around the Army, so it's close enough. But we're going to do. We're going to do a vow renewal and our honeymoon. So it's a special thing for us. So we're really, really excited.
So how long will you
be there? Long coming. We'll be there for a full week. We do 7 nights. So it's going to be a nice, long, hopefully nice weather, relaxing vacation.
Oh, I envy you. But I hope that you have just a special time. Is it just you and your husband, or are you taking your kids?
Nope.
Awesome.
They are sick.
Get to reconnect with your husband and some. I think that's neat. I love that.
I feel like a lot of times when we do, my husband does take leave and we do have vacation, it's usually visiting family, which we love. But sometimes that's really tiring too, because you have to go see everyone and everybody wants to do this and that, which is great. But, you know, sometimes we just want to relax. And so we're very ready for finally a vacation where we can do that. So.
Oh my goodness. Well, lots of Facebook pictures.
Yes. Yes.
I can't wait to see them. Oh my goodness. Cause we actually thought about, we ended up going to Bermuda. We kind of had a similar situation where we went to Bermuda and we had been married for 2 years by the time we went. But we thought about Jamaica, but we chose Bermuda. And so, I don't know, maybe
so nice.
I don't want to see pictures for what we missed out on, but we loved Bermuda. It was amazing.
Was it fun?
So,
oh, goodness. Yeah, I've never been anywhere like that. So I love looking at everyone's pictures and hearing about their experiences. So that's cool that you guys were able to go to Bermuda.
So have you ever been out of the country?
I have. I've been to Canada, but it's been quite some time ago. It was before you needed a passport to go into Canada. But other than that, no, I have not. I think I'll probably be visiting Canada a lot here in the next couple of years.
That close?
Yes, 30 or 40 minutes, I think, from the border. So. But I haven't. So that'll be really exciting to be able to experience that. Now, I've been to Hawaii, which I know is still in the United States, but sometimes I feel like you're out of the country when you go there.
Yeah. It's just a little bit out of the country, but Jamaica's going to be such an adventure. I'm looking forward to hearing about it when you get back.
Oh, thanks. I'm sure you'll see lots of pictures. And I'll probably still be talking about it for a month later.
I know. Well over a year, and I'm still talking about mine, so I love to hear about it. But it does look like it's time for us to take a quick break. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
We know military life can take us lots of places, and we can vote from all of them. Go to fvap.gov and select your state. There, you and your spouse can fill out the FPCA form to register and request your absentee ballots. When your ballot comes, vote and send it back to your local election official, and you're all set. Visit fvap.gov to get started.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Well, hot military news this week, a feel-good story for all of us who are animal lovers. New bite saves military working dog's career. Be very afraid when Spike bears his silver fangs. He is on point, ready to do what he loves best, bite. Several months ago, the 3-year-old military dog's dual mission career was threatened when his fractured canines, the result of a nasty cage-biting habit, became a liability. Without those fangs, Spike would lose grab and puncture offensive skills required of police working dogs. As a result, the San Angelo-based airman was issued a no-bite profile that took him off the police beat, although he continued with his sniffing duties. Today, thanks to the collaborative efforts of Carl R. Darnell, Army Medical Center, Fort Hood, Texas, and Department of Army Medical Specialists, who recently repaired and strengthened Spike's weaponry with root canals and crowns, Spike has a ferocious new bite. Because the military's working dog training program is extremely difficult and intense, the graduation rate is low. Spike is one of the elite few, which is why saving Spike's teeth became a priority for Captain Don Hall, who manages the medical care of all North Texas military working dogs, including those at Fort Hood. Spike is very special. He is a well-trained service member, and we did not want to lose him, said Captain Hall. Read more at army.mil/article/new-bite-saves-military-working-dogs-career.
What's hot on AWN this week? Self-care for superheroes. Yes, you. In this week's hot AWN blog, experienced contributor Kit shares that she is told she is a control freak, genetically inherited by a long line of control freaks. Kit muses, being a military spouse doesn't seem like it would be compatible with being a control freak because our whole life seems to be one big change of plans. However, it seems that there are more of us than you would expect. I suppose the fact that we tend to be determined, goal-driven, laser-focused, stubborn, and so on is a benefit to our lifestyle. We are fantastic house managers, business owners, life coaches, come up with plans A through F and occasionally to Z, given the circumstance, and do it with an indisputable quickness and a smile. In this fun and insightful post, Kit says that you, yes you, military spouse, are a superhero because of all you do. So how do superheroes take care of themselves? Read more for some great suggestions at www.armywifenetwork.com/self-care-for-heroes, yes, you.
As you know, Army Wife Network recently joined with Military One Click as a media partner for their Mill Spouse Fest 2016 event at Joint Base Lewis McChord, Washington. We continue our series of interviews this week by featuring Justine Janelle, a Navy wife, sharing her excitement about being an attendee at the event.
Hey, it's Crystal Niehoff again. We're here at Mill Spouse Fest 2016 and at Joint Base Lewis McChord. And I'm here with another attendee who is going to kind of give us her insight into the day. Tell us your name and a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Justine Sennell. I am a Navy wife. I've been married for a year, and I am a new mom to a 3-month-old. So.
Congratulations, and she's adorable. She's right here.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's so cute with her little bow on her head. She's beautiful.
Thank you.
So what brought you to the event today?
I'm new to the whole military community. I've never lived this far away from home, so there's a lot of new aspects that are new between becoming a new stay-at-home mom, from coming from a career. So I just thought it would be really good to have some insight and learn a little bit more about the resources that the military has to offer spouses.
Great. So have you learned anything so far today that you can apply to your own life?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of really great information, and I have learned things that I wouldn't normally have thought to ask Right.
So have you enjoyed the day then?
I have.
Great. Would you recommend it to your friends?
Definitely. I think it's a great thing for all of the military spouses.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thank you.
It was so fun chatting with Justine and getting to see her little girl. She was adorable. And all the other attendees at JBLM will be sharing more interviews with you throughout the summer. So be sure to tune in each week. Moving on to our next segment now. Mandy, tell us about this week's PSA.
Well, last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Exchange gets military shoppers prepared for new school year with $5,000 in prizes. At the time for back-to-school shopping approaches, military shoppers can start crossing things off their school supply list with $5,000 in gift cards from the Army and Air Force Exchange Service, Hershey, and Mars. From July 22nd, August 18th, authorized shoppers worldwide can enter the Hershey and Mars back-to-school sweepstakes for the chance to win one of 10 $500 exchange gift cards. Back-to-school shopping can be as stressful as it is fun, said Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Sean Applegate, the exchange senior enlisted advisor. These exchange gift cards will help students start the year off with everything they need to succeed. Shoppers 18 years and older can log in to shopmyexchange.com/sweepstakes to enter. No purchase is necessary, and entrants do not need to be present to win. The Hershey and Mars back-to-school sweepstakes prize drawings will take place on or around August 25th. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is Hope, filling in for AWN's News 6 Gen, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental Coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE Medical Program options do not include TRICARE Dental Coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Hope, bringing you all your need-to-know news. A new report shows that the Pentagon doesn't track how many military families use government food assistance programs. Defense Department officials have incomplete information on how many military families are using food assistance programs
because the department doesn't completely track the data or work with other departments to do so. A new report from the Government Accountability Office finds, while some data exists on how many service members use programs such as food stamps or WIC, the Pentagon only loosely tracks the programs, and there is no single office at the DOD that is in charge of food assistance tracking. The report was ordered as part of the 2016 National Defense Authorization Act. That law also ordered that the USDA not block defense officials from receiving any existing data on how many service members use their programs. However, officials have not worked to get that data, the report says. Little to no information was found by auditors on service members' use of the myriad of other food assistance programs, such as local food banks and free and reduced lunches for children in non-DOD schools. That's a problem military officials must tackle before they are able to accurately understand how hunger impacts troops and their families. The Army is reviewing the diversity in combat arms leadership roles. At Fort Eustis, Virginia, July 12th through the 14th, the Army's Training and Doctrine Command convened the 2016 Army Diversity Summit to examine the reasons why the top tiers of leadership remain so homogeneous while much of the rest of the Army has become increasingly diverse. The summit was convened, in part, to solicit subject matter experts for proposed solutions to the problem. At the summit, three teams of about 20 experts each, made up of both Army officers and civilian subject matter experts, were asked to develop recommendations on how best to improve the diversity of combat arms officers in the Army. Teams examined the problem from three different perspectives: accessions, development and employment, and retention. At the conclusion of the three-day summit, those teams briefed senior Army leaders on their recommendations. The recommendations briefed at the summit will be considered by the Army as possible ways to increase minority representation in senior Army leadership. Finding housing at a new duty station can be both stressful and exhausting. We have four tips to help you find the most affordable housing and to make the relocation process smoother and more successful. First, all options available to you. Housing allowances vary based on a military member's pay grade, whether he or she has dependents in the base's location. The decision to live on or off base often depends on factors including security, ease of traveling outside the area, and the local market's affordability. Examine the expected cost of living both on base and in a private community. In a market where you can easily find a home for less than the monthly stipend, living off base may be more cost effective. But in pricier areas, remaining in a military community might be the right financial choice. Second, find an agent with experience. Limited time and access to information on your next city can make it difficult to decide where to live, whether you should buy or rent, and if on-base communities will better serve your needs. When it comes to these considerations, a real estate agent familiar with military relocation can make a world of difference. The National Association of Realtors has a special certification, Military Relocation Professional, for realtors trained to work with military service members and their families. Third, a home that meets all needs. Choose a home that both meets your needs while you live there as well as creates less stress when it comes time to relocate. Also, consider how much renovation and maintenance a home requires. Excessive renovation and maintenance usually isn't an option for most military members. A home close to base may be important to you. For military members, the golden rule of real estate is location, location, location. It applies to more than getting the greatest return on investment. It is also key to finding housing close to the military base and other military members and their families. Fourth, resources for a smooth transition. The military offers a number of relocation assistance programs for its service members to make the process easier. An agent familiar with military relocation will also be able to accommodate the limited time and availability a military client often has to find his or her next home. Many real estate and relocation companies have divisions specializing in assistance for military families and online resources, such as the Veterans United Home Loans website and military.com, which aim to help military members and their families throughout the process. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wives Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Hope, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Nihon.
And I'm your co-host, Mandy Gibson. Tonight, we have with us Jen Ferguson. Jen is a wife and mama, as well as an author, blogger, and speaker. Jen is also the author of Pure Eyes, Clean Heart, A Couple's Journey to Freedom from Pornography, which she wrote with her husband, Craig.
As mentioned earlier in the show, this segment touches on a sensitive subject and may not be. You might want to get your children occupied in the other room and make sure they're out of earshot. Let's get started. Welcome to the show, Jen. Hi, how are you guys? Doing great. So glad to hear you, to have you here with us tonight. Tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling from.
I am just down the road from you guys, which in Texas terms means about an hour and a half or so. I'm just outside of Austin. I'm sitting here in my study, and we just had a huge rain shower. And I was thinking of y'all in Fort Hood, wondering if you guys got any rain.
Yes, we did right before we went on the show, and it's still kind of sprinkling, and I'm like, oh, it started pouring, and I had left my van outside in the driveway with the windows cracked.
That's why it rained.
Yeah, most of the time I have it up, but it's been so hot, and my husband had been working in the garage, so I guess Mother Nature decided to keep me on my toes.
I'm very envious. Very envious of you Texas gals right now. I've been having Texas withdrawals. I'm Texas homesick.
Oh, well, the only thing that's green is the cactus. So, I don't know. Is that what you make you feel any better?
Typical Texas summer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. So they say that every man looks at porn. Why is that a big deal? What are like the physiological and the psychological ramifications of using porn?
Well, I just think that it's pretty amazing. And first, I want to say that Utah just declared pornography use as a national health crisis. So just that gives a little bit more oomph to the fact that the credibility that porn use is a problem, and that it does not only have physiological but psychological ramifications. And so porn is an addiction. And so like any addiction, it messes with your chemistry, all your chemicals and your hormone in your body. So if you were addicted to heroin, you're going to want to crave more heroin. So if you're addicted to porn, you're going to want to crave more porn. And so what happens with porn is that in your brain, whenever you orgasm, your body releases dopamine. And so when you're watching porn, your body is releasing that. And so to keep that same high, you're having to go into deeper and darker things in order to get that same high, just like a heroin user has to consume more and more heroin. But, you know, it's really interesting. I was reading that, you know, dopamine is also released when you're having sex. But because of hormonal and chemical changes that transpire transpire before and after sex, you don't have that same buildup and tolerance. So it's only the dopamine issue, the tolerance of dopamine is only related when you're seeking sex outside in that fantasy world. So from that, psychologically, you can think if you're forming an attachment with an artificial fake world, you're not going to be able to connect with your real life world, your real life wife, your real life kids, all of that. You have this escalation that's a huge risk. There's lots of guys that have lost their jobs because they are looking at porn at work. And just in general, porn is a really poor substitute for what you're really craving, which is emotional and spiritual intimacy, and physical too.
Why are people in the military particularly at risk for developing an addiction to pornography?
So I really didn't have much experience with people in the military other than casual friends. And I have some good friends now that are military wives. And I just want to say that I have one friend in particular that I was talking to recently, and there was a upcoming move, and then plans got changed, which I'm sure you guys are all, it's a part of your life, right? And it's just so, I just want to say that I'm so moved by y'all's commitment and devotion to your family and to your country. And so I really didn't know too much about porn in the military, but I was at a church in Austin called Gateway, and they had a whole series called I Love Sex, which is pretty awesome for churches to finally be talking about all the different aspects of sex. And a guy was up there, his name is Ben Fletch, and he was in the military, and so he stood up and talked about his addiction. And so I went back and listened to his sermon, and he said this: what all the movies fail to explain, war is boring and horrifying all at once. Because of the intensity of war and boredom, everyone is looking for an escape. And then he went on to say, guess where most of them where did they end up turning to? And it's porn. And he said that they had a super drive, and I'm not a tech girl, but he said they had a super drive that you needed a security clearance password for that had over 600 gigabytes of porn on it. And so when you're overseas and you're in that place of extreme boredom, or you're recovering after a crazy, awful day with gunfire and explosions and whatever you're dealing with that's hard, being away from your family, you start turning to an outlet because your reality is just too much to bear. And so a lot of guys and even females are turning to porn. And so when they come home, the war doesn't end there. I mean, you have thousands of people coming back with PTSD, and even just in the real life, life gets hard. And so if they have this habit of turning to porn when life gets too hard, they're going to turn to porn when they're home too.
So you say in your book that porn isn't about sex, but that it's about fantasy. So what exactly does that mean?
So porn is about escape, just like I was talking about for anyone. So Craig is not in the military, but in his case, porn was a way for him to escape rejection, fear, anxiety, low self-image. It was a stress reliever. It was a way for him to just engage in a world that wasn't filled with all the problems and concerns of his real life. So he could go out and be whoever he wanted to be or thought he could be in this fantasy world without any of the ramifications. One of the things that he quoted in our book was that porn is acting like a man without actually having to be one. And so you don't have any of the consequences that you would have in real life if you treated women that way or engaged in affairs or anything outside of marriage. And so I think that it's so pivotal for spouses who have a spouse addicted to porn to realize that this is not about you. This is not about you not measuring up. It's not about losing the baby weight or being in this kind of shape or your hair or your boobs or if you nagged him on Tuesday or whatever. Porn is about fantasy and about escape, and it has nothing to do with you. And you're not ever going to measure up to a fake world, right? So there's no point in even trying.
Right. Now, I understand that your husband had an addiction to porn. What are some of the things
right.
that you and your husband did to break that addiction? And what worked, what didn't?
So the first thing that I tried to do was to control him. I thought that it was so it was so clear cut. Okay, so Craig, now you've been caught, and you know how much this upsets me, and so you're just going to stop doing it. And so if you need some help, then I'll set up some guidelines and some parameters for you so that you can stop doing what you're doing. And so, like, I would say, okay, well, you can't be in your office with the study door closed, or you have to face the computer this way, or you can't clear your history, and all of these things. And so I just set up a bunch of rules and regulations because, truthfully, I'm a rules and regulations kind of girl. Like, I don't want to break the rules. Well, my husband is so not like that. He is a little bit of a rebellious spirit at heart. So when it got really bad, and he became suicidal at one point, I knew that I had to reach out beyond what I was doing, that what I was doing was not working, and I needed more help. And so we ended up reaching out to his dad, who actually was in the Army, and he suggested that we get into counseling. And what was good about counseling for us is that Craig finally had to start telling people other than me and his dad. And so any time you can bring your porn addiction into the light, you're touching the light, right? So it's not buried deep, dark in you anymore. And the shame starts releasing a little bit. And so the downside about counseling for us was that we did not know at the time that there were counselors that are actually trained in dealing with sex addiction. So I think if we had gone to a counselor who was specialized in sex addiction, Craig might have had a little bit more of a fruitful experience. So I think that definitely if you were looking for a counselor, you would want to make sure that they have the credentials CSAT behind them. But I think that the thing that really impacted us the most and that led to Craig's healing was for us to start talking to each other, really talking to each other, checking in, pressing into our relationship with Jesus and with each other. We built a community of friends that would just really cheer us on when things got hard, and that would check in with us in a loving way. Because I think sometimes we think about accountability being very harsh and checking in, following rules and regulations. But true friends that know that you're struggling with something really want to care for your heart. And so the more we could talk about it, I think the healing process for Craig really happened, too, when we were actually writing the book, because it made him go back to figuring out what really started this addiction. Because lots of guys find it in their middle school, and it's new, and it's girls, and their hormones are crazy, right, when they're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and it seems like a natural thing to do. But the problem is when they start turning to that to fill this need in them that's supposed to be getting met with real people. And with Craig, a lot of it came – he just didn't feel heard when he was a kid. He wasn't turning to porn because he had this huge sexual need. It really just started as he was lonely and didn't feel like he had a voice. And so he started turning to porn, a place where he couldn't be rejected. And so over time, this habit just kept building and building, and he used it more and more as a crutch instead of turning to real people that could actually give him that just that fullness and that love that he really wanted.
Yeah, that's certainly understandable. So I know that this probably just isn't, you know, something that men have to deal with as far as this addiction. Would you give the same advice to a woman with a sex addiction?
For sure. I mean, so much of what keeps us in our addictions and keeps us in our bad habits and anything, I mean, is we need to be able to reach out. So if you can find someone who is safe and trusted and start reaching out and saying, I need help, I cannot do this alone. Anybody who has any kind of addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, porn, smoking, it is so hard to do it on your own. Like, it's not about willpower. And so I think some people think, well, if I was strong enough, then I would be able to. But that's not the point. Like, you have to have community. For Craig, he had to have Jesus. For me, I got so addicted to this control and trying to keep my world safe I needed my relationship with Jesus and friends around me that would love me and show me that there's a different way and that I don't have to do it all on my own. Craig doesn't have to do it all on his own. No, none of us are designed to do it all on our own. We all have to reach out and ask for help and just be diligent and about figuring out where our past hurts are and allowing ourselves to just find healing for those past hurts so that we can really start powerful, intimate relationships with people around us.
Oh, that's such excellent advice and something that we all and to the reminder that we shouldn't try to control our spouse. You know, really their choices are up to them, and that goes in so many areas of our lives, but that's just excellent advice. I wanted to ask you about internet filters. We hear a lot about them in combating porn addiction. How do they work, and are they really effective?
So I think that internet filters are effective to the degree that you let them be effective. Because I know, I mean, for me, if you put on an internet filter on my computer and I had a porn addiction, I probably would not figure out how to get along or get around it because I'm just not that tech savvy. But my husband, on the other hand, always could find a back door. So I think they're good, and I even write for Covenant Eyes on their blog. And so I believe that they serve a really good purpose because it at least gives you, it slows you down a little bit, right? It gives you pause. Okay, I have this filter on my computer for a reason. Do I really want to give in to the addiction, or do I really want to try to figure out a better way to satisfy my need? So anytime you can kind of put roadblocks up, that's good because it's going to take you extra effort to get over those roadblocks. But any internet filter is never going to cure you of your addiction.
Right. It's just it's like anything that we have to make a choice. You know, really it comes down to us making the choice.
Right.
Jen,
I mean,
we
like
have
an
to take a quick.
Oh, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say it's kind of like an alcoholic. You can get rid of all the alcohol in your house, but then you can still go down to the store and buy some.
Oh, exactly. Right. Right. Well, Jen, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, let's chat about why pornography addiction is so difficult to overcome. Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join the conversation. Ask questions of our guests simply by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. Be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate and click on the Live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Finding a career that's right for military life has its challenges, but CareerStep offers a great solution. Thanks to MyCAA funding, military spouses who qualify can complete any of CareerStep's courses for a variety of healthcare careers with no out-of-pocket expenses. CareerStep even includes a laptop at no additional charge for most programs. With online courses you can fit around your schedule, CareerStep offers the flexibility required for a military lifestyle. It's a great way to train for rewarding, in-demand careers whenever and wherever you are. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
My wife is spending a few days away with her sisters and her mother. I could be unhappy about that, but I'm not. She loves her family, and it's good for her to spend time with them. But it's also good when she comes home. What makes you happy? Being happy reduces stress, helps your heart, and generally just helps you be healthier. Here are some things that make me happy. Number one, supportive in-laws. I love my mother-in-law. She's been really supportive to me and supportive to our marriage. Number two, French fries. I like French fries. They make me happy. Number three, polo shirts. I like polo shirts because I can, quote, dress up but still feel comfortable. Number four, summer camp. When I was a kid, summer camps made me happy. And when I can take my kids to summer camp, they're happy. And the time I get to spend with my bride makes me happy. Number five, date night. Date night makes me happy. We have them regularly, but we should have them more often. And you should have them more often, too. Number six, libraries. Whether it's me or my kids, we always find books that we want to read. Libraries make me happy. Number seven, scholarships. I have a kid who starts college in the fall, and we definitely like scholarships. They make me happy. Doesn't matter if they're big or they're small, they make me happy. Number 8. High mileage cars. When I was a kid, I wanted a big muscle car. But now that I'm paying those gas bills, and gas has gone crazy lately, I like a high mileage car. They make me happy. Number 9. Friends. I like to be a good friend. I like to have good friends. They make me happy. And finally, number 10. A loving wife. She is awesome. And she makes me happy. Being happy can help your attitude, can help your health, and can help your marriage. This is Certified Relationship Coach Kevin Decker. You've been listening to the Relationship Minute on the Army Wife Network. For help with your relationships, get a hold of me at getoror.com. That's GETROR.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Jen Ferguson, author of Pure Eyes, Clean Heart, A Couple's Journey to Freedom from Pornography. We want to remind our listeners that this subject may not be suitable for children. Jen, before we went to break, we discussed the physiological and psychological ramifications of using porn. I have to admit, this has been kind of an eye-opening interview for me. What makes pornography addiction so difficult to overcome?
I think the biggest thing that makes it more difficult to overcome than, say, drug addiction and alcohol addiction, all of them are hard. All of them are just crazy difficult and require outside help and strong relationships. But I think that the thing that makes porn different is the incredible amount of shame that still is over this addiction. So porn is a taboo topic. It took me so many times when people ask me, oh, so what's your book about? To say, oh, it's about our journey from porn addiction. I mean, I mean, for months, my cheeks would get red, and I would almost lose my voice, and my breath would just catch because nobody talked about porn addiction. And so for my husband to go to his friends, to his priest, to his parents, and say, yeah, I'm addicted to porn, was so difficult. And I think that that's why we felt so isolated and so secluded and felt like we were all alone in this battle because nobody was talking about it. And so I think that the more we can stand up and say, yes, this is a problem. This is a problem in our churches. This is a problem in our homes. This is a problem in our workplaces, that people are going to be able to come out and admit that they need help and start to burst that whole shame bubble. Because the truth is that in a survey, over half Christian men are addicted to porn. So this is not like it's only affecting a few of our households. This is what Utah says, a public health crisis.
Sure, and that's kind of, you know, what we've been learning. And one of the things that you've talked about is that a lot of times that stems from, you know, the craving or the lack of intimacy. So what can
right.
we do to develop that and maintain intimacy in our relationship?
I think if I had to sum it up in 3 points, my first one would be make your relationship a priority. And I'm sure that being in the military life, there's a whole nother added layer to that. But knowing that relationship, aside from your faith relationship, is the most important relationship that you have. It supersedes friends. It supersedes your kids, which sometimes are like, oh, but my kids are the most important. But your kids, if you are married, your kids watching you have a solid relationship, watching how an intimate relationship really works, it's going to pay off so hugely. So number one, make your relationship a priority. Schedule time. Number two is talk about the hard things, the deep things, your greatest pain and your biggest dream. If you're not used to talking about these things, it might feel really awkward. But that is what builds intimacy, is all that stuff that's resting at the bottom of your heart that you're longing to get out, or maybe you're even afraid to get out, share that with your partner, because you're showing them that you trust them, that you honor them, that you respect them, that you're just giving a part of yourself to them. And you can't have intimacy if you are locked down and unwilling to share what's really going on with you. If you're the spouse who's not addicted to porn, sharing about your own struggles. You may not struggle with porn, but maybe you struggle with someone else. We all have vices. We all have struggles. None of us are perfect. And so the more we can share about our own imperfections, the more we can willingly, the more our spouse will know that they can come to us and be real too. And so that kind of leads me into the third one. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. Don't go into conversations assuming you're going to have to defend yourself. This keeps you from listening well. For so long, I was so angry with Craig because of his addiction that I thought he was my enemy. But your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is designed to love you and care for you. And sometimes we just have to get over and get through all the junk. But if we can look at our spouse and know that they are our partner and not our enemy, we're going to be able to get through a lot more quickly.
Right. That's good words. How were you able to forgive Craig over and over again? How do you access compassion in the face of pain? And is there ever a time to call it quits? Well, a question that's come in from one of our listeners is there ever a time to call it quits?
So I think, you always have to have boundaries. So if your spouse is being physically abusive, emotionally abusive, sexually abusive, and especially if you've been a porn addict for a really long time. We talked about earlier that escalation. One of the escalations can be demanding that your spouse act out some of these scenarios that can be dangerous and very just not loving at all. So I think that there are stages of how you do that. I would definitely pursue if your spouse is willing, marital counseling, personal counseling. I think you could have something that's called a therapeutic separation. So you're not separating as moving to divorce, but you're separating in the hope that that extra space will actually be therapeutic and allowing for a space to grow and think and process and move back toward healing. But for sure, if you're in an abusive situation, then you need to get away. Get away, and then if he gets help or whatever, but you do need to protect yourself. So how was I able to forgive Craig? I didn't forgive him for a long time. Like, I would say with my words, oh, I forgive you, but then I would just hold on and kind of keep this whole internal list of things that he's done wrong. And so even if I said, oh, I'm not mad about the porn addiction or whatever, or I'm over that, but then he would, like, leave the dishes in the sink, and I would just explode. So my anger really wasn't about the dishes, or maybe, like, 5% of my anger was about the dishes, and 95% of it was about being hurt and feeling betrayed by the porn use. But finally, I just felt like God came to me and said, you know what, Jen, you're a sinner too, and you do the same things over and over and over again, and I never withhold forgiveness from you. And when you withhold forgiveness from Craig, you're just letting that sit in between your relationship between me and you and between you and Craig, and it's turning into anger and bitterness and resentment, and that's not bearing any fruit for wholeness or intimacy in your relationship. And so I think also realizing that I could start to have compassion when I realized that the porn wasn't because of me or because I wasn't good enough. And I had like a mental separation. This is something that he is dealing with. He is struggling. He is hurting. He is making bad choices. I am so sorry and so sad that he is in such a bad place that he feels like that's where he can go to get his needs met. And so when I could take myself out of it a little bit, I was able to access that compassion. It doesn't mean that it still didn't hurt, you know. So I still had to, if Craig were to come to me and say, I slipped, I'm so sorry, then I could say, okay, and then process with him. Even it might be a week or two later, oh, my gosh, I realize I'm still really angry because you slipped. And I don't want you to not tell me because I want to be a safe place for you, but he also realizes that his mistakes are going to have ramifications, and I need to not hide those, but I just need to talk about them in a constructive way.
Right. I'm sure, especially in that situation, that just really great communication is key.
Right.
Yes. Are there any outside help and resources that we might need in order to overcome this type of addiction, if this is something that, you know, we might be struggling with?
Yeah, there's tons of resources. And so information is always good, but realizing it's kind of also, you don't want to get to the point where, you know, when your kid's sick and you're Googling everything and then you have, like, you're totally overwhelmed with everything. So I would say start small. There's the XXXChurch.com is a great resource. Also, Fight the New Drug is really very informative about how porn works. And both of those websites have tons of information on how to get help. They have, I know XXXChurch has message boards and communities that you can interact with. Also, there's Sex Addicts Anonymous. There's counseling. Like I said, make sure that they have that CSAT certification. There's all kinds of books, like Every Man's Battle, our book, Pure Eyes, Clean Heart. There's also another book called Pure Eyes by Craig Gross. So there's tons of information. And, of course, if anyone wants to reach out to me, I can and tell me a little bit more about your specific situation, and I might be able to kind of target some resources that might be helpful for you.
Great.
Great.
And, Jen, where can our listeners go to learn more and to purchase your book?
So our book, Pure Eyes, Clean Heart, is on Amazon. And we also have a brand new Facebook community. So I am actually in the process of shutting down the Solo Dia Gloria Sisterhood. And Craig and I have started something called the Knot Project. And it's K-N-O-T, like you tie the knot. And it's really about being tied to our relationship with God and being really tied to our relationship with each other. And because of that strength, we get untangled from all of those things in the world that try to destroy our marriage. So if you can find that on Facebook, that's facebook.com/the knot project. And then we also, if you are interested in developing a prayer life, on our website we have this brand new resource called Marriage Matters, and they're prayer cards so that you can start praying very specifically for your spouse, and you guys can pray for each other. So those are the main ways that you can get our book and get plugged into a community.
Oh, Jen, I love this. Thank you so much for sharing this information with us and for your willingness to step into a dark area and touch lives and help marriages. And thank you for being with us tonight and discussing this difficult subject. It's difficult to discuss, and it's difficult to find help for those who are seeking it. We appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to share with us share your story of how you and your husband overcame this.
Thank you so much for having me. I really was blessed by our time, and I just, like I said, I really respect and honor y'all and your dedication to your spouses and our country.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Have a great
it.
Evening.
Awesome. You
and
too. Bye.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join us next week, August 1st, 2016. Our featured guest will be Corey Weathers, here to launch and discuss her new book, Sacred Spaces, My Journey to the Heart of Military Marriage. Going to be a great show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wives Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.